Father, we thank you for this open door that you are making for us. For if there was no open door, Lord, we would not have hope. But our hope is in you, God, for you are the author and finisher of our faith. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that your will would be done tonight, even as we are gathered here together. We pray, Lord, that you would help me to be able to share what you have put in my heart, and that it might come out in a fashion that will bring understanding to all of us here of what you're even speaking to me. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, just want to, before, thank you, sweetie, you know, share a little bit tonight. I want to pick up on some of the things that Sue was sharing. I believe in the power of prayer. And prayer has been becoming more of a reality to us here in Dubuque. And I can look over our history in Dubuque of being together for over 37 years. And we've, you know, it's sort of an interesting thing. One, we meet on Tuesday nights. You know, most places meet on Wednesday night. I don't know how we ever started on a Tuesday night, but we picked a Tuesday night and we've never changed it in 38 years. And I can also say to you that during those 38 years, we were creative in what we did on Tuesday night. We would have prayer for several years, and then we would have a Bible study, or we, you know, and I mean, some of it was good, I mean, and very good. I mean, there was one time we started the pattern. It took us, I think, a year and a half to get through the pattern, and then we went into three books of Revelation, and that took us 3 years to get through. But some of our Bible study was an outcome because we would have prayer, and prayer seemed to go nowhere. We would have seasons that it was very dry. And it got to the point to where it became a drudgery to come to prayer, you know. Now, I can't say all the reasons or whatever, but I don't know when it was, maybe 4 years ago or so, five. I don't know how long we've been having our prayer on Tuesday night, but something began to change. There became a greater burden for prayer. And maybe it was getting to learn how to pray together that brought a difference. But as we would come together in prayer, we would not only pray for the prayer needs, but we would begin to seek the Lord. And, you know, it wasn't just one or two, but people would begin to get a burden. You know, and like what Sue did was when she came and she began to share about this man who had cancer. And people began to pray. And we would be in a prayer meeting and someone would just take up that burden, even though Sue brought the burden. Other people would carry the burden. And we would see the hand of God move. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing when we can get into a place where we love prayer. You know, I mean, come on. I think we can all say we individually pray to God, right? But it's a wonderful thing when we can come together in agreement for things, and it brings a joy. It's not a long or a difficult time. And that's not to say we're having this overcoming time every Tuesday night, but we are getting with an expectation that as we gather, God begins to answer prayer. Well, I have to tell you, it was 2 weeks ago, wasn't it, that we were at Mary's house, and we gathered together for prayer. And we were, and of course, to some of you that have been with us on prayer on Tuesday night, sometimes the different brethren call in. We have a little speaker phone, and we use the prayer line because sometimes in Dubuque, some people can't make it to the house because we go from house to house, alternate on Tuesday night. So some of the brethren call in, but also some of the brethren from around the United States calls in. And so this particular night as we were praying, we had two particular needs that came before us, and it was just God. One of them was, well, let me go in order. We're sitting there praying, and as we're praying, this young man, his name's Kurt, how old is he? Is he, what, late 20s or something?
Early
30s. And anyway, he lives on the third floor at Nikki's house. And I think he came to one of our meetings one time here, one of the conference times a year or two ago. And so we're in prayer, and he must have been hearing our prayer. And he was going up and down the stairs. I wasn't paying attention to it, but Mary noticed the steps were going up and down and up and down. And as we're praying, all of a sudden he comes burst into the room, and he says, "I want prayer." And so he comes over. I said, "Well, let us pray for you." He comes over and sits between us. We lay hands on him. We begin to pray. And, you know, there's a word given unto him. We began to rebuke the spirits of oppression that was upon the man, you know, and it was a demonstrable power of the Spirit of God. So after we get done with that prayer, well, Sister Nancy was on the phone, and she was asking prayer for Bert in the situation that he was at, just coming into Uganda, and the difficulties that he was having when he left France, and then when he entered in, and the whole situation. So, and Bert happened to be calling Nancy at the same time, and so Bert began to share, and we began to pray and begin to bind the spirits and begin to command the blessing to be upon Bert, upon the work in Uganda. And I think a few days later, he said it was very peaceful after that, and God intervened. He moved, you understand. And, you know, all of that is to encourage us, you know, that God is with us. And that as we seek the face of God, He's there to bless us. He's able to lead us into righteousness. And what's so marvelous is when we begin. The Bible says one can send 1,000 to flight, two can send 10,000. And then think of the multiplication when we begin to come together and we begin to pray and to agree for the needs, or to pray and agree for one another. You know, there had been a burden concerning different brethren going through physical situations, and different people would have different burdens, and as we would agree, we would see the hand of God move. And I believe that as we continue to look to the Lord, I'm giving you all the positive, you know. It's not so easy to get down in prayer with God. And the devil does everything he can to stop us from coming together in prayer. Why? Because if we become together in one mind and one accord, we're destroying the kingdom of Satan. Hallelujah. And so it is a need. I really believe that God is wanting to teach us how to pray, and how to pray together as a people. And, you know, I'm just up here just testifying, you know. And when Sue said that concerning the testimony and how everybody heard the gospel that day, and the testimony that my wife is leaving after all these years, because it was like about 18 years ago, wasn't it, Sue, that I had that dream? And I was down in the back of the post office, and there was a big picnic bench, and all of the nurses from Sue's department was there. And we began to share with them the Word of God. Hallelujah. Sometimes we think it has to come a certain way. Well, God is unlimited. He can do whatever He can. So He ends up. And Tyson, you know it. I remember that night you were there. I think it was we were out at George and Jill's house for prayer. And the Spirit and the burden came on Tyson for Rob. He began to pray. He began to come against the powers of darkness. And he said that you will not have them. Salvation will come. Here the man gets saved 3 weeks before he passes on. He comes to hear the gospel of the kingdom. Far from him from that point, up to that point. But we prayed him into the kingdom. And not only that you prayed him into the kingdom, but as we prayed, it took a long range effect upon the whole department. Hallelujah. So, you know, our lives do make an impact. And the way they make an impact is if we keep focused on God. Hallelujah. That's the key. You know, the devil wants to divide us. The devil wants to, if he knows that if we become united, that we will destroy the works of Satan. So he's doing a good job to try to divide us. You know, we have to fight it, don't we, in Dubuque? You know, the whisperer, the accuser of the brethren, you know. And as we separate ourselves unto God, as we love one another, you know, love, the Bible says two things. One, love covers a multitude of sin. But I believe it's in Proverbs that says love covers all sin. So, hey, I would want my sin covered. So I got a responsibility to cover everybody's sin. Huh? I can't look at it and say, oh, is this person not so good? No, I don't have no right to say that. I'm not in the place. You know, the Bible says we're to judge no man. We're to owe no man nothing but love. Amen? I'm trying to learn agape love. And still learning. It's a higher love than phileo love. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, we've been blessed in our prayer. What I want to share with you tonight is something that the Lord spoke to me just in the last couple of weeks. I had a very unusual dream. And in this dream, I came up to minister in a conference. And as I came up to the podium. The podium was actually turned around. It was turned towards me, not out. And I said, how can I minister if this is turned around? Well, you know, a husbandman must be partaker of the fruits, you know. And I heard something just in the last couple of weeks, you know, that we should always appropriate it before we export it. Amen. So anyway, in this dream, I see the thing, and so I asked the brethren, well, turn it around. And when they turned it around, the Lord spoke to me. He said, Ezekiel chapter 1 through chapter 12. And I began to then speak, and I woke up from the dream. Well, first of all, don't worry. I'm not going to go through all 12 chapters of Ezekiel tonight. But I would like to touch on them. And things that I've been meditating and praying about it, and as I've been reading and rereading those chapters and meditating upon them, they really speak of our walk with God and the condition of the church and what God's going to do. And the plan to bring His people higher, but He is bringing a judgment upon the church. Amen? No amens? Well, thank you. Amen. But within a word is always other words. And one of the things that in Ezekiel, starting in the first chapter, was Ezekiel had this vision. Now, I better pull it from this end. It's sort of going a different way. Now, Ezekiel was a prophet to those of Israel that were of the captivity. But he was a contemporary to another prophet who was still in Israel prophesying in Jerusalem, which was Jeremiah. But Ezekiel was of those of the captivity. And it says that he was, well, let's open it up to Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel 1. And the first three verses says that, now it came to pass in the 30th year, and in the fourth month, and then the fifth day of the month. Again, we were talking about the meaning of the numbers of Scripture, 30 meaning a place of maturity, correct? 4 being the number of tribulation, and 5 being the number of ministry and grace. It says that on that day, he says, I was among the captives by the river of Shabar, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. Hallelujah. And it says that in verse 3, that the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Shabar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And it says, and I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, and a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof was the color of amber, and out of the midst of the fire. And also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of 4 living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Hallelujah. First of all, Ezekiel was there among all the captives, but something was happening in Ezekiel's heart that the heaven was open to him. He had to be seeking God, probably more diligently than those around him. Because if you read in the latter chapters, when he came out and spoke, he said they were all astonished at what he saw. Well, when you go into Ezekiel and he sees this vision, and he sees the whirlwind and the glory of God, and he sees these creatures coming out, and they had appearance, what did it say? The likeness of a man. Hallelujah. Now, brethren, we know that God is three parts. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen? And that we are a three-part being. Spirit, soul, and body. And that's every man, right? Just two? Okay. All right, spirit, soul, and body. Now, it's interesting. God was bringing to Ezekiel a word concerning the contemporary time that he was in, but God was also giving him a revelation of a higher place in the heavens. Amen? They were of the people that were given a law for them to abide in, yet God not only would chastise the people of Israel for not abiding by the law in which he had prescribed to the people of God, but he also was giving Ezekiel a vision of something that was of a greater dimension than the level of just following the law. He was seeing a revelation. When he saw these creatures, he was seeing the soul of man. You and I. Amen? Because in our soul, we have, well, he goes on to say that when he saw these creatures, he said that, also out of the midst thereof, verse 5, came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And when you go down to verse 10, it says, they four had the face of a man. All right. The man would be the, on the right here, for desires. Huh? On the right. So this man, the likeness of the man, represents the desires. And it says that the other one was the face of a lion. That represents the emotions. The other one was the face of an eagle. Huh? Which is our mind. And the fourth creature was the ox, which is our will. And I'm not sharing anything that we already don't know. You know, I remember as a young Christian and becoming born again, this revelation that came through the apostolic word changed my life. I knew that it was speaking of something far beyond what I had known Christianity up to that point. I think it was... We got saved in June 27th, and someone in late August, early September, put into our hands the pattern. And when I realized, God, you're wanting to do something of a change in me, even though I was born again. And I'm telling you, my born again experience, we're preaching to the choir. our born again experience, we can say it's like nothing else we ever had in our life. Huh? When the blood of Jesus Christ came to me, when I became born again, I became a new creature. Old things were passing away. No more wanting to do what I did as a sinner. I wanted God. Come on. I wanted God. I didn't, whatever the cost, it didn't matter. Anything that I ever wanted to transpire to rise up in the ranks of the post office, it was no longer that desire anymore. No more a desire to be filled with having a good time and drinking to get an artificial high when the Spirit of God came and touched me by His blood, that the life of God I was experiencing, I was sensing and walking with that life, and it changed us irrevocably. To the demise of many of our families and friends who thought we were crazy, but it was life, and there was something in it that made us hunger for more life. You understand? And so when we had received this word and an understanding of what it means in Ezekiel about the soul, see, the four living creatures, it says he had the likeness of a man. And hey, I have desires, don't you? I certainly got emotions. You ever cry in your life? Even as an adult? Yeah, so I got emotions. Huh? I certainly have a mind. In fact, that mind sort of goes like a computer. Stop, stop, stop. I don't want this. I don't want that. And I certainly have a will. What I want to do, huh? We all are a free will agent, aren't we? Huh? And so when God comes to us and begins to give us a concept, first, how are we to know who He is if we don't know who we are and who we are in God? Hallelujah. Now this three-part being is every man that comes into the world. Alright? We have a body, we're a soul, and we have a spirit. Amen? John says that God lights every man that comes into the world. That's what separates us from animals, is that God gives His spirit, gives a spirit coming from heaven to every man, woman, and children. That's what gives them hope. Some would liken that spirit to even be the conscience of God knocking at the door of their hearts. Hallelujah. And then we also know that when we become born again, we get saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. All right? It's very simple. It's very scriptural. It says in Ephesians that we who were once dead in sin and trespasses, He has now quickened us. Hallelujah. That's why when Adam was created and God breathed into him, what did He say? He created and made Adam a living soul. But we know that Adam's soul and everyone that came after Adam became dead through trespasses and sin. Bible says that by one man, sin entered into the world, and thereby death by sin. So also shall the world be saved through one man, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Who saved you? Jesus, right? When we come to the Lord, when we get born again, it is Jesus who we come, it's Jesus who we believe in, and it is Jesus who gives us life. It's like we call out to Him. Amen? So, when we were born again, it took months to understand in the Scripture what was happening to us. I couldn't come up and quote the Scripture because we didn't know it. In fact, we got a hunger to read the Word of God, and then we found out months later, I'm reading the Word, and thinks, oh, this experience happened. Hallelujah. And the Word of God gives us an understanding, or it opens and gives us an entry into the heavens itself. And it isn't all so apparent. It comes by parables. It comes by riddles. It becomes by revelation. Hallelujah. And so as we were born again and we began to hunger more and more, there were things that God began to relate to us in a very quick speed in our young lives. We didn't know anything about God except for He touched us and we were raised Roman Catholic. And boy, we couldn't wait the following week to go to church for the first time in our lives. We experienced God, and now we thought we were going to experience God in the Catholic Church. Hey, it was true, Shannon. We were raised. Everything that we knew God was what was taught us. So we go in that day. I always remember, went into a big church, not only about 5 blocks from here. And they began to sing, and we wanted to sing with all of our heart. And we looked around, and everybody was just the way we were before we got saved. And we thought, whoa, something's a little different here than what we thought. Hallelujah. Well, it didn't take a while. We began to keep reading the Word of God, and it didn't take a while for us to realize that God was not in the institution we were born in. Hallelujah. Because we never heard that you needed to be born again. So God continued to lead us and to guide us, and somehow, hallelujah. Well, we got so hungry for God, and we were hearing so much from all of the Christian community. Hallelujah. You know, the Christian community, there's a Christian community in Dubuque. And back in 1980, Dubuque was like probably about 84% Roman Catholic. But they had little bitty churches all around. And you know, even in those little bitty churches, there was a little bit of life. I shouldn't say a little bit. People were teaching about being born again, and there were people that loved God. And when we first met true people that were true Christians. And we enjoyed them. And yet at the same time, as we started going into some of these little churches, we started to see that something wasn't always what was scriptural in it. Hallelujah. And I always remember this man that was on my mail route. He's passed away for a good 25 years now, if not that much. And I'll always remember it. And that, you know, just being born again and just loving God. You know, as a mail carrier, you can always read where people's lives are at by the mail they get. Did you know that? Oh, yeah. You can know all the people that are into a lot of big sin just by what they're getting delivered to their houses. Right, Jim? Huh? And so I get excited when I started seeing. No, please forgive me. Different ministries that were on the TV. They would get their magazines. But I would say, hey, they're a Christian. You know? And so I had this one. He lived on Bluff Street. And I knocked on his door one day. And I said, hey, excuse me, but, I'm not trying to be nosy or anything, but I see you get some Christian literature. And I began to tell him how I was born again. And, you know, I had a wonderful rapport with the man. And one day, you know, he believed the scripture literally. And one day I was having some problems physically, allergy-wise. I said, will you pray for me? He goes, yeah, but step in. He goes, we're not supposed to pray on the street. And he would pray, you know. He would just pray. So, you know, God honors, you know, a man wherever he's at. Well, we were going to this little Assembly God church. And we met wonderful Christians. And anyway, he belonged to it, but he never really went that much. He would probably thought he was sort of a, you know, he wasn't really with the in crowd of the Assembly of God. Well, we didn't know anything. I mean, you're talking about 6-7 weeks old in the Lord. And we're sitting in this little church, and him and his wife comes in. And he sits down, and I start to notice that people weren't treating him as well as they were treating other people. And after a little bit, the program gets going on, and all of a sudden he goes, hey, I got a testimony to share. And everybody freezed up. He says, you know, I don't come too often. Another freezing up. He says, but I want to tell you, I love Jesus. And he began to share something that happened in his life. And after he got done, oh, they couldn't wait to keep going on with their program. And I thought, my goodness, something's really missing here. You know, God was faithful to bring us through these little things that we would be in a church 3 weeks. And then one day, we met some brethren from Janesville, Wisconsin, that were teaching the tabernacle. And they came down, and as they began to teach of the deeper truths, I said, there is something different than these brethren than some of the other brethren that experience. And so they had given us a book, The Pattern, and I began to read it. And I opened up to the page about the soul. And I'm telling you, it made the most profound change in my life, because it was something like, yes, this is what needs to be changed in me. Even though I'm born again, even though I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, there is something that needs to change yet in my thinking. And I'm telling you, in our time of first being born again, God delivered us of a lot of things. But we don't get changed completely. Hallelujah. And see, this is the thing that I believe is what the church needs to hear. God's not after just wanting to save people, even though he does want to save people like the thief on the cross. But he wants a changed individual. He wants us to be changed into His glory and into His image. So here is Ezekiel. He's having this vision, and he's seeing something that nobody has ever saw the like of what he saw up recorded in the Old Testament. He saw the image, huh? He saw the likeness of a man, and yet the four creatures, but yet it was one person. Hallelujah. But to go on, when you go on and read into the rest of chapter 1, that as he would see these creatures, he also saw a wheel. And he saw a wheel within a wheel. And the wheel is representative of the Holy Spirit. And as the wheel would go, the creature would go. If the wheel went up, the creature went up. If the wheel went to the right, the creature went to the right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I can't remember how many years ago I could tell you how many. It wasn't of most well received and had got a lot of different interpretations, but back in 8-10 years ago, I had this 3-part dream. And the first part of the dream was just, I wish everyone could experience what I had in that dream. Because I was lifted up from the earth. And it was just like Ezekiel's vision. I was lifted up from the earth, and the Spirit of God was so near me, I couldn't distinguish it from my own mind. Hallelujah. And so if I wanted to go to the right, I went to the right. If I wanted to go to the left, I'd go to the left. If I wanted to go up, I went up. My, it was the most wonderful thing. Hallelujah. There's no technology available today that equates to what I was seeing that I was partaking of in that dream. And in fact, I was so lifted up, I saw a brother. Hallelujah, he's in this room here. Oh, what? Don't say it? Oh, it's a good thing. The brother Andy. And we were in, it was like a beautiful subdivision. And I could see Andy driving down the road, and he was coming to this house. But I knew he had to go behind the house, and it was like I could see what he couldn't see. And I'm sitting there, and I'm hoping Andy would make the right decision. You want me to tell you, Andy? You did. Amen. Amen. But in the dream, it looked so wonderful, this subdivision. And I thought, well, I'd like to go down there. And guess what? Whatever I wanted to do, the Spirit had me to do. I go down in the midst. But you know, as I went down the midst, I was walking through the neighborhood, and it wasn't so pretty looking as it was up above. Because I came by this house, and here was this husband and wife and their daughter there, and they were in a big argument, and they were all fighting and contention and strife and everything. And I'm thinking, oh man, I want to go back up where I was. Hallelujah. And I walked over, and as I'm ready to go up, and I'm starting to rise, and the woman, the young girl, comes out, and she sees me, and she wants what I have. I could sense it. I could sense the drawing of her heart to want what the Spirit of God was. And I said, just reach out your hand. And I wanted to lift her up. Hallelujah. Wouldn't you want to be lifted up? Yeah. If you were in a... Oh, of course, all of us always have beautiful relationships, don't we? Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. You know, sometimes certain things that if you're sort of low, you have to get in the Spirit for it to lift you up. Amen? Because you'd be so weighted down in your problems. Oh, yeah, I got tribulation. But what does it mean by be of good cheer? Not so easy to put on good cheer, is it, Shannon? Oh, sometimes it's very hard when you're in the midst of discouragement or depression or whatever circumstances and situations you are going through. But the going back to Ezekiel, this vision is a word to the church. It's a revelation that is giving us of an understanding of how God wants to change us. How can He change us if we don't realize that we have to overcome the things in our mind? How can we be changed if we don't know how we have the power to overcome what's in our emotions? Same way with our desires. Hallelujah. But God was giving to Ezekiel a higher revelation. Ezekiel was crying out And it was a right thing to do. Can you imagine if we were the people of Israel and all of a sudden the invaders come in, Babylon comes in and takes us all away? Every one of us. Huh? Every one of us. We're in Shabar right now. We're in captivity. We still are, you understand. Though we're in the world, we're not to be of the world. But we're still attached. And God wants to detach us. But God was coming to Ezekiel to give him a word, to give him an understanding of the condition of the church. Huh? But he was also giving an understanding to a higher realm. Sort of like that song we were singing, Sue. Huh? God is moving us on. He is leading the way, a way we have never been before. Hallelujah. Now, tell me, brethren, we were just a couple months old when we had this revelation, but when this understanding came to you that our soul needs to be changed, what did it do to you? Didn't it give you a hunger to want to come up higher? Didn't it want to give you a hunger to be delivered? Hallelujah. We have a brother that we know that had been taught in this world, and through various situations, he ended up going back to the Baptist church for a season. And he was there, and he was a very good attendee, and he was very much involved. But after so many years, he called up one day and he said, "You know, George, what do I need?" He says, "How can I get back with God?" He says, "I am so dry." And you know why he said he was dry? He said this exact same thing. He said, "They do not teach on the saving of the soul. They don't preach it." Huh? They'll preach salvation 24/7. They'll preach, you know, how to be external, but they don't preach an inward change. In fact, that some of these places that name the name of the Lord, they don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They don't believe in visions and dreams. If you said you had a dream, they'll kick you out. Don't say that to the rest of the congregation. It's a pizza dream. To them, dreams are nothing to them. And don't say you have a calling as a prophetic gift. They don't believe in prophets anymore. They don't believe in apostles. Oh, you're a teacher or you're an evangelist. But don't say you're a prophet or you're an apostle. You're way out there. Hallelujah. But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So Ezekiel had this revelation. He was seeing man, and he was seeing the makeup of man, and that man was four parts of his soul. And you know, in that first chapter of Ezekiel, the condition was, even though he was a creature that had wings and could fly, he was still having the nature of the ox. Hallelujah. Think of that thought as we go on. Now, Ezekiel comes out of that vision, and God calls him. He says, "Ezekiel, I've called you to be a watchman, and I've called you to the house of Israel, though it be a rebellious house." But then you know what he said? "Ezekiel, don't be like that rebellious house." Hallelujah. And so God called Ezekiel, and he had to do some very rough things. Hallelujah. I don't think some of us would like to do what he had to do in the natural. And do you know who he was speaking to? He was speaking to the others in captivity. He was giving, there's a number of things when you go through the chapters, one of laying on his side, one of moving out of stuff, and he was saying, this is what's going to happen to Jerusalem. He was telling his fellow Israelites that were in captivity, this is what's going to still happen to Jerusalem. Hallelujah. But then God began to show him even further. He not only showed to him what was going to befall Jerusalem and Israel, but he showed him why. And he said, because of the abominations that the people of God were doing that would cause me to go far from my sanctuary. Hallelujah. You know, that's true of today, but you know, you and I, we have to overcome those same things that befell the people of Israel. We have to overcome idolatry in our heart. Hallelujah. No hallelujahs. Idolatry in our hearts. The worshiping of Tammuz. The women worshiping Tammuz. They were worshiping the false idols. He said, dig in the hole and see even greater abominations that my house does. Hallelujah. And he dug it in. And then he even showed the ancients of days where they had turned their back from God and they were worshiping towards the east. Now there's a lot in all that. You know, even to this day, they have sunrise service on Easter morning. And where did they turning to worship? To the rising of the sun. Hallelujah. But God is wanting us to understand that God is bringing judgment on the church. Isn't that true? Just a couple of amens. The Bible says that God's going to judge your works, but judgment first must come to the household of God. Amen. And it also says in Matthew 24, when he speaks of the midnight hour, he's speaking of a time where he says, let not your flight be in the winter time. Does anybody here have to get rid of coldness in their heart? Just a couple? Huh? Are you happy with your condition? No. God wants us to do something about it. Because we are really of the house of Israel, are we not? And God wants to teach us that we, in order to be overcomers, we have to overcome the things that many did not overcome. We have to overcome the idolatry in our own hearts. We got to overcome the wicked thoughts that come to our minds at times. Is anybody here?
Are you sure? Are there things that come to us that we would be ashamed of? I remember one of the brothers had a book like, what's on your mind? And he said, how would you like it if we had a screen and we put up on the screen every thought that you had the last 24 hours of last week? Would you be ashamed? See, some of us are fighting familiar spirits. Some of us are fighting things territorially. Some things are of our heritage. Brother Burke was talking about it this morning. The stamp of our family is upon us. And we don't realize how that is affecting us in the way that we think and in the way that we are. Praise the Lord.
I mean, we have said to the Lord, we want to be part of the first fruit company. Amen. I've said it hundreds of times, if not 1,000 times in 38 years. I heard this word, I want to be part of it. Huh? I want to be part of Gideon's 300. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you think God takes me serious? Yes, He does. And do you think that God will not let me? God isn't going to let us go. He's going to hold us to our word. But you know what? God is watching our every thought, our every action. Hallelujah. Now, I'm saying this because when we look into Ezekiel and we see the condition and the abominations that are done in Israel, we don't have to look any further. You know what we say? Oh, we're the end time church.
All those poor people out there. No! My God, I can't look at anybody but myself.
Chapter 6, I get a revelation as Isaiah said. He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train fills the temple. And then he says, but whoa, he sees the revelation of God. And if you really see the revelation of God, you're going to see yourself.
Amen.
And you're going to say, Isaiah, I'm undone. He says, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among unclean people.
Hallelujah. And do you think God knows the word He does? Yes. But He cried out.
Hallelujah. You see, that's the key. What was it in Isaiah that he cried out? He had a revelation of the condition of his soul. And when he cried out, what was God's response? God sent an angel with a coal, a fire, and he touched his lips. It was fire that changed him. Hallelujah. It cleansed him. Fire is cleansing, right? Someone was talking about fire. It's an agent of change. Hallelujah. Yeah, I am a product. You are a product. Many of you are a product. We're preaching to the choir. But sometimes the choir needs to hear too. Hallelujah. We need to be reminded of calling and election in our lives. We need to know why God has saved us. Hallelujah. Not just to get us into heaven, but He wants to change us into His nature and into His character. But you cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. I cannot serve God with my mind if I'm serving my mind with other things. Whether it's in my mind or in my desires or in my emotions. And each one of those areas of our soul are so vast. My God, if I had to just concentrate all day, you know, if I worried all day about my soul, guess what? I'm a lost man because I'm not coupling it in faith. I'm a sinner, brethren. And even as I still fall into sin. But you know what? God says He'll never leave me nor forsake me. And when I'm talking of this tonight, I believe God is giving us a word of hope. Hallelujah. A revelation that He has called you and I to the gospel of the kingdom of God. And this gospel of the kingdom is to bring change lives. Do you know when we talk about ministering life out, the degree that you minister out to others is the degree that life has been ministered to you. Hallelujah. It's been said, and I really believe it, you know, how can you lead a person to salvation if you've never been saved yourself? But once you are saved, you can testify of the goodness of God. Hallelujah. But not only salvation, you can testify of other people, individuals. As you have overcome certain things in your life, you are able to help those that God helped you in your condition when you were low. Hallelujah. So Ezekiel, he's having this revelation. He's among all of his brethren there. Woe is us. Can you imagine us in the same place? You know, we as Americans, or maybe I should say I as an American, maybe you don't have that, but I've never had in my life of an invading country coming and destroying all of us, ripping up our families, tearing them apart, and transplanting us into a land we don't even know their language. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And thank be to God if we were at least all together. We could talk with one another. Oh, I understand you. You understand me. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But God was bringing to Ezekiel, He was bringing to others, why it befell upon them. Why are they captives? Hallelujah. You know, you can be saved, you can be born again, but you can still be held captive. You can be held captive by your thoughts. You can be held captive by your emotions. You can be held captive by your desires. Hallelujah. But God, it says in Ezekiel, He says, do you see why I had to go far off from my sanctuary? Because I'm a jealous God. I'm jealous for my people. Hallelujah. It's sort of like a man who marries a wife and a wife does not, is faithful to her husband. Huh? What causes a rising up a man of jealousy? Why did you leave me for somebody else? We'll transpose it in the spirit. How God feels when we don't walk with Him as we should. Or we have other divided interests in our personal lives. That's why the Bible tells us that we should examine ourselves to see if we be in the faith. Hallelujah. God is wanting to dwell in us. He's wanting to walk in us. Hallelujah. Now we were talking and we were hearing the word this morning. How many of us here believe that we are approaching the midnight hour? Okay, several. Raise your hands if you really believe it. Okay, if you really believe it, are you scared? All right, some said no, but are some of you scared? When it talks that there's going to be great tribulation as never was on the earth before. Well, in the natural, it is scary. But the Bible says that it's the great and terrible day of the Lord. Great for those that know God, terrible for those that don't. Hallelujah. And how do we know God? It's not just, well, I'm born again. No, we must know God in spirit and in truth, right? It says, there cometh the day, Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, that they that worship me will worship me in spirit and in truth. In order for us to worship him in spirit and truth, we must not only be born again, but we must also be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen? Because when you look into Ezekiel and you see his visions of the wheel, it's representative of the Holy Spirit. And God wants to be married to us. Right? So when we receive a born again, we receive life from God, which is his blood, into our soul. But when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, his spirit comes into our spirit. Why? Because it's an uncontaminated part. Even though I am not totally yet changed, but in my spirit, it's the spirit from God. It's his container that is part of me that his Holy Spirit can come in. But his Holy Spirit is wanting to be married to my soul. He wants me to open up to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I need to open up my mind to the Spirit and the things of God. You know, we talk about the law of sowing and reaping. Hallelujah. Right? Huh? The law of sowing and reaping. It's all in the natural. It's also all in the spiritual. If I give myself to the things of God, guess what I'm going to reap? The things of God. If I sow to the flesh, what am I going to reap? Corruption. Huh? The Bible says in Romans, it says, whatever spirit you submit yourself to, that spirit you become servant to obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. How many of us know that to be a reality? Huh? All right, not everybody raised your hands, but I think that everybody knows it if you're a true believer, that you know when you stumble. You know when you have a hardened heart. You know that you, when you do something that you're ashamed to tell anybody else that you're doing, but if you keep submitting to it, it becomes your master. Hallelujah. One of the things that Ezekiel was dealing with when he talked about the Tammuz, he was talking about sexuality. And when you submit yourself to an unclean spirit, it becomes your Lord. And the only way you get out of it is by coming back to God, repenting. And sometimes you have to have people pray with you to be delivered of certain things. Hallelujah. Because when you submit yourself, it becomes a ruler over you. Hallelujah. And there's other things that we can say that we have, and you young people especially, if you could ever get any wisdom from all of us, any of us that are just a little bit older than you, Ethan, just a little bit, I am over you, okay? But I'm telling you, don't submit yourself to those things, because once you submit to them, they have the power and rule over you. And I'm telling you, it's a long way out of that hole. God will deliver you. And I'm using you as an example, sorry, but any young people. God can deliver you, but don't fall into the trap of the enemy that will suck the life out of you. Hallelujah. I think we've all known what it's like to have spirits suck life out of us. So this revelation that we have received about the soul, Paul said it, was it in Thessalonians? He says, I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God said, you know, and it's an interesting thing. You know, Jesus, when he comes, we come into a conference, and God is wanting to deal with our hearts. He's wanting to work in our hearts to deal with this, with everything that has been troubling us and taking and sucking life out of us. And as you open your heart to God and you begin to repent, God is making a way for the entrance of the Word to penetrate and to change you. You know, that's why Jesus said to his disciples, he says, now are you clean through the Word I have spoken to you. When you hear a word and you know you need to repent, repent. Because God is hovering right there to touch you with His blood, to forgive you of every sin, and in order to set you free, that you have the hope and the strength that you need to walk with Him. Hallelujah. So, Ezekiel's time, it was a very terrible time. And it was getting worse. They were captives, but guess what? What was going on in Jerusalem was even worse than where they were in Shinar. They were starting to eat. It says that the father was going to eat the son, and the son was the father. What is that? Cannibalism. It had gotten so bad that men resorted to being like animals. Hallelujah. And he went on to speak again what's in Revelation. God said in the one vision that he said, I saw in Jerusalem six men with their destroying weapon in their hand. Judgment was coming. He says, first, before you do it. And it said, one out of the midst stood, had linen on, and an inkhorn by his side. He says, before any destruction happens, go and, what did he say? Mark all those that sigh and cry for the abominations that are being done. Hallelujah. He said, mark them. Mark them. Do you know we can be desensitized to the condition of the world? Oh yeah, it doesn't happen overnight, but it slowly changes and changes. People that you would have never thought 20 years ago accepting now what they would have never thought 20 years ago. Lifestyle changes. When we talk of homosexuality, same-sex marriage, 25 years ago, it would not have been something that was spoken about or embraced by anyway, but now it's embraced in all the churches, or in most of the churches. There was an Episcopalian church, or an Anglican church, one of the two. It was out on the East Coast. You know, all the congregation made a pact. We will not be married until same-sex is allowed in our church. They were that adamant on it. What changes a people, even a nominal people, to accept? It's because of the flood of filthy water that has come in through the land. And it works slowly, 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 slowly. In 1980, when we first got saved, one of the things that God had convicted us on, I would sit and watch the TV. I don't know what Sue was doing. I was so into myself. Maybe you watched some of it with me, honey. I just know I was watching it. I'd come home and open up a can of beer and sit in front of a TV from 3 o'clock to 10:30 every night. But you know, God used that to set me free because I knew I was going to hell at that moment. And that's when God came. And at that very moment, when I knew I was going to hell, I was so dead, brethren, I was so dead, it didn't matter. I was just, hey, I'm marked up. I'm a hell-bound person. No hope for me. But all of a sudden, I looked down at my six-year-old daughter and my six-month-old son, and I thought, you know, I want something better for them than me. You know, and God answered my prayer. Then he sends a man of God to start to tell me about the reality of God and who God was, and my soul was awakened. So he not only honored it with my children, he saved me, and he saved my wife. Hallelujah. We talk about the love of God. You know, when we talk about it, it says God so loved the world. It's true. I mean, it's one of the most often said scripture verses in all the Testament, right? Everybody says. But listen to what it's saying. God so loved you and me. Because the Bible says in Romans that God commended his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, you talk about love. That's a godly love. While I was the most unlovable person in the world, he came and died for me. He came and said, I'm real. All you have to do is open your heart and receive me. Hallelujah. Talk about a free gift. I think we were talking about earlier, he's given us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. I didn't give him anything. He just, out of his love, and I said, Jesus, save me. And he saved me. How much more will he do that to each of us in any of our condition even now? Any of the problems that we have, anything that we face, is anything too difficult for God? Huh? Can anything separate us from the love of God? You know, I have to repent for all my discouraging thoughts or all these things, you know. And I find out that I'm trying to overcome, and I'm finding that I've been giving way to discouraging thoughts. And I don't have to. Hallelujah. You ever, the devil ever tell you that you're no good? Huh? You're no good. You're never going to overcome. You're going to come so far, you won't go any farther? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, you know, the thing is, we get them into our thoughts, and we think it's our thoughts and not the devil. And the devil's whispering all the time. Oh, and you know, he has a good time when he starts to convince us that it's us and not him. Oh, he loves that. Man, look at this stupid guy here. He's thinking all these thoughts, and he's just, you know, then I give up fighting. But once I say, devil, you're a liar, I can be set free because I'm rejecting the accuser of the brethren. There is so much in the Word of God, brethren, that wants to teach us how to fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. That I might become effectual in God's kingdom. So going back to this vision he had, and destruction was going to come. Now, when we go into Revelation, we see another thing. We see that God was sending in Revelation, what is it, chapter 7, that the four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, ready to let loose its destruction, and he says, wait, hold back, touch not neither the what? The earth, hurt not neither the what? The sea, trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in our forehead. You know, that's what God's doing even this weekend. We have come here of a willing heart, right, everybody? Right. Maybe even some of you children may not be so willing, but God is still wanting to do something with you. And don't be surprised, even though you're not willing, God could have designed that you be here because God wants to deliver you in your life. But I believe that as in Ezekiel's time, so it is in our time. That midnight is coming. But God has a people. You understand? God has a people. And God says that He wants to seal us in our forehead. What is He sealing us with? The mind of Christ, the Holy Spirit. As we give way to that understanding of who we have been called to be. It says, brethren, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. Wait a second. I'm looking out at everybody. We're quite not there yet, are we? I mean, you all look nice here. Don't get me wrong. But we're not yet fully changed. But we're beloved. And he says, beloved, now are you the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but this we know, that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Shall I stop there? No. And every man that has this hope in Him purifieth himself even as He is pure. Oh my goodness. You know, we have a pattern that we can say, Jesus, I want to be like you. We sing that song. Lord, my desire is to be like you. Say the things you say and do the things you do. So let me hear your small voice through all the other noise so that I might be what I was, what you want me to be. Amen. Hallelujah. God wants us to be changed. And God gives us pictures in the Word of God, like Ezekiel, of this living creature being able to move up and down. Now listen, that isn't when we get to here by and by or when we die. God wants to be married to us now. God wants to give us the mind of Christ now. And we see glimpses of it, haven't we? Haven't we seen the move of God? Haven't we felt the presence of God? And doesn't it want to hunger to give us more of a desire for God? Hallelujah. We see one thing that's a surety, there is midnight. Amen? It's throughout all Scripture. But God says there's a provision, just like Noah's Ark. Amen? Because God sees a righteous people. The thing we have to decide, are we going to be partly righteous, three-quarters righteous, or all the way righteous? Hallelujah. And it's easy to say, it's a little harder to do, isn't it? But we have a hope. If God says be ye perfect, even as your heavenly Father in heaven is perfect, is that God saying something we can't do? He says you can be perfect. You can be perfect. Paul understood that when he wrote Romans. And he wrote, he was seeing something in about himself. And he said in Romans 7, why do I do the things I don't want to do? You know, I've been walking with the Lord 38 years. I'm still struggling at times with that. And he says, and the things I want to do, I don't do. But he saw, he came to a revelation. He said, I see what is going on. I see another law warring in my members, warring against the thoughts of my mind, and bringing me into captivity. It's the law of sin and death working. It's always going to work. You submit to sin, you become a servant to sin. It brings death in your life. And the more you submit, the more death it becomes. Hallelujah. But we don't want death, we want life. And Paul had it. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this? What did he say? This body of death. Hallelujah. And as a young Christian, I was so let down. I thought, this is my answer. And I read it. He says, so with my flesh, I will serve sin, but with my mind, I will serve God. I said, how does that work? How does that work that my flesh will continue to serve sin, but my mind could serve God? Then I came to understand flesh can't live in me. I got to crucify it. I got to put it to death. That's the key. That's how I can serve God in sincerity and truth. That's how I can walk with the Spirit of God. The more I die to me, the more He becomes alive in me. Hallelujah. We have been given a great revelation. We have been given a great truth. Hallelujah. And it comes just into the simplicity that we have been a soul that has been bought by the blood of Jesus, and God is just doing the beginning work, and He wants to transform us. As it says in Romans, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The problem is we still are submitting to being conformed to this world. Huh? Whether in the way we dress or in the way that we live, we have to submit ourselves to God if we want to be the sons of God. Amen? So Ezekiel, he goes on and he begins to talk, and destruction was coming. But there was a provision for those that did not want to be partaker of the abominations that were being done. That's why it's good for us to examine ourselves. See if we be in the faith. What is it that... Is there anything that's sucking life out of us? Is there things that are working to be contrary to the calling and election of God in our lives? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I stand up here, brethren. Flip this podium around. I'm talking to myself. Hallelujah. And I love the Lord. But I know that I have to overcome. I have to overcome the world, I have to overcome the flesh, and I got to overcome the devil. And sometimes it's difficult because he's hitting me with all three. Huh? Hallelujah. I remember, this was quite a number of years ago, but the devil was beating me up. I was fighting a familiar spirit, and I fell one day. And when I fell, boy, I felt worse than even the fall. Now I was condemned. And I'm walking around and I am condemned, I'm condemned, I'm condemned. Just, I'm no good, I'm no good. And I called this brother up and I said, brother, I said, pray for me. I says, I fell and I'm feeling, he started laughing. I go, why are you, you'll ask, you know, he ever call you once, and he starts laughing. He goes, don't you see what's going on? I go, what? He goes, the devil gave you a blow, and then he comes with condemnation and gives you the undercut. And I go, wow, you're right. I'm on the mat. He's beating me up. He said, just reject it. God loves you. He goes, just repent of your sin and go on. Amen. Oh, is it that easy? Well, if I'm sincere about my repentance... You ever try to get delivered from something and you never get delivered? Do you know why? It's because you want the thing more than you hate it. The day you begin to hate something that is binding you more than you want it, that's when you're going to let go of it and you get a hold of God. Hallelujah. Otherwise we go, oh no, I'm never going to get delivered. Well, the reason why you're not is because you don't want to be delivered. You really want that sin. You want that darkness in your life. But I tell you what, you keep that darkness is going to overtake you. And that darkness is not only going to overtake you, it's going to swallow you up. And it's going to rob you of the life and inheritance in God. Hallelujah. You see, God is crafting in us, as we submit to Him, a personality. The nature of God. We were talking about this morning. He says, to him overcome, I'm going to write a new name. You are going to have a new name. The name of your father is going to be written on your forehead. Hallelujah. But we got to overcome. We got to overcome this natural man. We got to overcome this body of death. But Jesus gave us a key. He says, if any man desires to be my disciple. Who wants to be a disciple of Christ? All right. Anybody want to be a disciple of the devil? Okay. I see nobody's hands lifted here. That's great. All right. Well, he says, if any man desires to be my disciple, he must first deny himself, pick up your cross. Not my cross, your cross. Each one of us has a cross. And follow me daily. Hallelujah. Paul wrote it in Ephesians. He says, chapter 6, he says, brethren, put on the whole armor of God that you are able to stand in the evil day, doing all to stand. Hallelujah. Is this an evil day? We need the full armor of God. We need to be soldiers of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to finish up. When Ezekiel, in the latter chapters, I forget if it's after the abominations and that, he has another vision of these creatures. And the Spirit again, the wheels are moving, and everything what the wheels did, the creature did. But when he started to list this creature, it said that the mind and the eagle, the lion, the emotions, the man and the desires were there, but one thing was changed. The ox was no longer there. It was a cherub. The ox got changed to a cherub. An angelic being. Hallelujah. It's the same thing that is in Revelation, where it says that the four creatures, I think it's chapter 4 of Revelations, it said that the creatures, but instead of an ox, it was a lamb, or it was a calf. Huh? The will was broken. Huh? The will was no longer ruled by an ox. An ox is stubborn, isn't it? Huh? But when it got changed into a cherub, there was a greater revelation. Hallelujah. That is showing that God has a plan to change us. We sing this one song. And he made a plan for the fallen man, lifted up by his mighty hand, gave him a place in glory land. Hallelujah. You know, we sing that song, but there's so much truth in it. Because when you see Ezekiel's vision there, he was seeing the Son of God that was ruling over all. It said he saw him, a man on the throne. Hallelujah. And the in Revelation 4, that revelation of the four beasts, they fell down worshiping the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We are to fall down and worship God. It's a change. It's a process that's happening in us. Are we willing to let Him do it? I think God is wanting to speak to us this weekend. He's speaking to me. I mean, I look at this and I don't want to miss the mark. When I say the mark on my head, the sealing. Hallelujah. I want to be sealed. That's what I heard from the first time I got saved. The changing of the soul, the end time that we're living in. Eschatology, the study of the end times. You were saying it, Mark, that you'd like to study the end times. Because it's speaking of us now. Hallelujah. There is a generation that will overcome. I pray that I'm part of that generation, and I want to pray that you're part of it too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we have to awaken to righteousness. We cannot be asleep. We cannot be asleep. We cannot change the priority. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All the other things will be added unto you. And when you go into that chapter, he was saying, don't worry about how being God's going to take care of, how you're going to be fed, how you're going to be dressed. He says, but seek ye the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I could seek the kingdom, but I also need to seek righteousness. The Bible says, who shall stand? It's Psalm 15. Is anybody ready to quote me in it? Yeah, who shall abide in my tabernacle, and who shall stand in my holy hill, but he who walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness in his heart. Is that right? Oh, speak of the truth in his heart. But there's another part. It could be in Psalm 24. It has a similar one that also speaks of righteousness, doesn't it? So I'm putting two psalms together. Psalm, huh? Yeah, that's the same one. Read that.
And for who shall stand in this holy place? He that hath clean heart and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto the vanity.
Amen. Amen. I think God is challenging us this weekend, brethren, and I thank God for today. I thank God for the Word. I'm trusting and believing God's going to bless us the rest of this conference. But let us seek the face of God concerning our own place and position with the Lord, that we might do business with God in whatever capacity that we need to do business in. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you tonight.